Start the new year off right with a heck of a night. It starts in the day, so let Specs show you the way. With pairings and savings on all your guests' cravings, the bubbly, the wine, Specs selection is divine. With prices so low, you'll be quite a glow. Good times and good friends is how the year ends. Say farewell, au revoir, and adios with the most. And welcome the new year with savings and cheer.
Hey, welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. The battle over returning to the office is heating up. What is the future of hybrid work? Well, today's special guest of significance and maybe the ultimate voice on this hot topic is Aruna Ravichandran. And she has multiple roles in her life, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of WebEx, that is from Cisco, mom, wife, author of several books, former kickboxer instructor. And Aruna, in our preparation of today's show, we learned about your aspiration to not only become better, but your drive to be exceptional. And our team here in Austin wrote a headline that says you are a devout collaborator, a revenue creator, a culture conscious leader, passionate storyteller, who's actually figured out how to fuse personal aspirations into leading a team focused on their customers. Aruna, welcome. How's that headline? Is that pretty close?
I would say thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. Really, really excited to join you today on this particular podcast. I would say the one which I hold very near and dear to my heart is your last one with respect to customer obsession in terms of how do you basically, you know, we are in the business, especially when you think about marketing, is to basically serve our customers and how can we basically be really obsessed about our customers and serve our customers. And that is something which I'm really passionate about as well.
I love that. You know, the only way that people get on this show is if they've moved from success to significance.
Got it. Okay. So the double S, right?
Yeah.
The S squared.
So let's start with unpacking your career journey. Tell me about where you're from originally. I know about your education, but I want to know some secret ingredients along the way that have helped you and your vision to think about life and the significance of it.
So, I was born, raised in India, grew up in a town which was called Bangalore in southern part of India. Bangalore is also known as the Silicon Valley of India, where all the tech innovations actually happen. And so growing up in India, you know, very earlier on, I was given by my mother, who is my mentor and my rock, that I only had three career paths to choose. It could be an engineer, I could be a doctor, or I could be a loser. There were no other options across the board. And everybody within our family were engineers. And so I decided to basically pick the career path and become an engineer. I was also good at math. That was the only career path I actually knew. And so I went along to get a bachelor's degree in computer science engineering growing up in India. Then I came into the United States in 1992. Worked for several different companies, in an engineering discipline. And then I came into the Silicon Valley in 1995. And my first job was at Hewlett Packard, which was the Apple of the Valley at that particular time. I spent about 10 plus years in an engineering discipline, grew from a network engineer, have a couple of different patents across the board, also have written, I would say, proudly say at that particular time, million lines of code at that particular time, and then went from an engineer to a functional architect and then became an engineering leader for a high availability division at Hewlett Packard, at which particular time I'd had both my girls. One of the reasons I went into engineering, like I said, it was the only path which was shown to me, and I embraced that particular path because I was good in math. across the board. But during my 10 years career discipline in engineering, I realized that I did not know about the other disciplines. And what engineering gave me is an opportunity to really hone in on my domain expertise. You know, I worked in multiple different groups at HP. And the second thing it gave me is work-life balance. And when I was in engineering, I basically had an opportunity to have both my daughters. So 10 years into an engineering successful career, I felt that I had to explore my own in-ear career path. And so I got an opportunity to participate in a couple of different conferences like HP World, which was a technology conference across the board, had an opportunity to meet people outside my engineering discipline in product management and marketing, as well as external folks who came to HP World. And then I decided that I have to explore other disciplines across the board. And this was the time I think my elder daughter just went into kindergarten, and my younger daughter was, I think, about 2 years old at that particular time. I decided to go to Santa Clara University and took a couple of courses in finance, couple of courses in accounting, and couple of courses in marketing. And that is when I fell in love with the discipline of marketing. And so it was a hard call for me to actually make. And so I took a couple of classes. I was really, my interest was definitely piqued. And I thought, you know, why not basically get myself an MBA and really explore the business elements of a product line. So I enrolled into Santa Clara. I was a mother at the time. I had a full-time job. So I enrolled in the evening program for the MBA program at Santa Clara University while I was working at HP. Got my degree, and once I got my degree, I decided that, you know, I definitely have to make a switch into the marketing discipline. And that is when I also learned a lesson in humility. Because when I used to interview at HP in multiple different roles in engineering disciplines, it was a cakewalk. I could go from one group to the other and even get a promotion across the board very, very easily. And so when I tried to make the switch at that particular time, I was an engineering director at HP, and I wanted to make a career switch from an engineering director to a director for product marketing or product management, and interviewed for many roles. You know, I did not get those jobs. And I quickly realized that I actually had to take a demotion if I wanted to basically pursue a career on the business side, because nobody was willing to give me a role on the business side because I did not have the experience in that particular role, because my entire career for 10 years at that particular time was on the engineering side. So one gentleman on the in the storage group at HP, his name was Steve, decided to take an opportunity to give me a role, but he said that I had to go from an engineering director to a product manager, which was a three-level demotion at that particular time. So everybody probably thought in my family that I was going through midlife crisis. Who gives up an engineering director role and goes on to the business side, which is the darker side of the business? But I had to try it out because, like I said, you know, I embraced the engineering discipline because that was only available to me as I grew up in India. And so I decided to take a leap of faith because I already knew that if it did not work out, I could go back into my engineering career because I had a 10 years dedicated and I was a pretty good engineer myself. And so I took a leap of faith, took a three-level demotion, sucked it up, and decided that, you know, I have to take the courage and the risk in order to pursue that particular option. And so I moved on to the business side. I became a product manager for and a product marketing manager. So I had a dual job in HP for the storage business. And the first 6 months, I probably thought I made a mistake, right? Like it is a very different discipline when you think when you're an engineer or whether even if as an engineering director, you're only focused on one part of your product line in terms of your responsibility. On the business side, you have to look at it broadly, right? Like it's not vertical based. You're not basically feature focused or functionality focused. You have to think about it at a product line level, like, which was a completely different kind of a skill set. And that is where I was really grateful for my MBA because as a part of my MBA, I learned quite a bit in terms of the business. And so I stuck it through after the, even past the 6 months. And that is when I actually fell in love with product marketing as a discipline. So after I switched from my engineering career and moved into the product management side, I like product management, but I fell in love with the discipline of product marketing. Why is that? Because product marketing is all about positioning and messaging. My engineering career gave me the opportunity to take any complex technology. I can understand any complex technology, and I mastered the skill set over the years in terms of how you actually simplify it, right? Like you cannot message at a feature functionality level. You have to message at a higher level. You need to know how to basically distill between the forest and the trees. And you also have to basically tell a story. It's a tell a story with a complicated technology. What people actually remember are stories. People will, when you announce or launch a particular product line and innovation within a product line, people will remember it for a very short period of time. But what people will always remember are stories behind how that particular functionality or feature was basically brought to market. And that is the art of storytelling. I've actually finished. I'm not saying that I'm an expert over there, but that is where my secret sauce is, because my left brain constantly thinks about the technology side in terms of metrics, in terms of ROI, and my right brain constantly thinks about the creative part, because that is another thing which I realized, which I'm pretty good at. And so how can I blend my technology skills with the art of storytelling? Because once you get the message right, it is pervasive across all elements when you think about marketing. Mm. And that's where my career actually changed. While I took a three-level demotion, I basically got back to my directorship within 3 years. I had to earn a seat at the table without a doubt, and I had to suck it up for 3 years because of my demotion, which I took when I moved the careers, but I never regretted it. And the lesson learned out of that is, I don't know whether everybody will be able to take that, because people are at different career points in their life. But I've fundamentally come to believe that if you have passion for something, you will make it happen. I also believe that everything can be coached, but not passion. And I had passion and I took that risk in order to basically make that career change, and it worked out for me. But I would say that if I didn't have the passion, probably I would not have done that risk and I wouldn't have basically made the change. And even now I get recruited for a lot of general manager roles, but I would never go back, not because I don't like technology, but I like the art and discipline and science of marketing, because people think about marketing as just one element of it, right? Like it could be around brand, it could be around demand gen, it could be around product marketing. To me, marketing is a science and a discipline. And it starts with the story. Once you get the story right, then you can take that story into your demand gen programs. You can build the right set of assets tied to the right target audience. And again, it starts with the story with the right message. So messaging is fundamental across the board. You can message at a Uber level, at a brand level, you can message at a product line level, and you can message at individual product sets level within the technology. And that is something you have to master in order to be a really good marketer. Once you get your message right, then you basically take that message and you activate it across the various different marketing channels. You activate it within your demand gen campaigns. You activate it with your AR PR channel. You activate it within your brand channels. You activate it within your events. Everything has to do with the right message and how you actually activate it within your various different channels. And so then I fell in love with the discipline of marketing and I've never looked back. And now I've spent about 20 plus years in the marketing side. And, you know, I will always retire as a CMO. And that is a discipline I've actually fallen in love with.
Thank you for that. I've heard several lessons out of that. One is almost a challenge to our listeners. If you ever want to light up both sides of your brain, don't be afraid to leap over and do something different. Number two was it's okay to take a step or three steps back. You've got to have a longer view in your career, and a career is over the course of decades. Those 3 years now in retrospect probably aren't that long, but in the middle of it, it looks like, you know, you're creating a crisis for yourself because you're taking that move back. So that was brilliant. And the other thing I heard was this great storyteller that you've become. Is that from your mom, or what mentors can you point to that have helped shape your storytelling skills?
For me, my biggest mentor in my life is my mother. She's my inspiration. She's my strength. She's my rock. My mom, you know, I was born, raised in India, and she basically worked as a PR professional for a Canadian company in India at a time when women did not work. And so I grew up watching my mom, you know, have that work-life balance. Well, while my sister and I were her number one, she basically created an environment where we were still her number one, but she still also was able to put food on the table and also have a career for herself. And as I watched my mom grow professionally in her career, I also saw how she did it. For her, everything was about leading the way, you know, in an empathetic way. It's all about the story, right? Like, and you also have to show up in that particular way, and everything she would relate back to an example. And so that was the fundamental area where I basically learned the art of storytelling. She would connect it back to something which is really positive in order to basically inspire us. And so that was the first point where I actually learned the art of storytelling, in order to basically, how do you basically take something which is could be even negative and put a positive spin to it in order to basically inspire your target audience. And I watched my mom do that throughout my entire life growing up in India. And that was the first influence for me across the board. And then I am actually grateful that she guided me to embrace a technology degree, because I would not have been a computer science engineer without my mom. And so I'm grateful for that. One is because in the art and science of marketing, like I said, it's about the messaging. And messaging, especially when it comes to hardcore technology, can be really difficult. Because of my engineering discipline, I can go into any function, any vertical, and I can easily understand the technology because I come from an engineering background, and not many people have that luxury of that. And I understand that because people always ask me, you know, why do you basically, how can I become a very good storyteller? The hard part of that is you have to invest your time, and you also have to read. And you, even though you might not have a technology background like I have, but I also fundamentally believe that you have to be a lifetime learner. I am a lifetime learner. I constantly read across the board. I not just read on the business side, but I read about technology. And when you're a constant learner, you will learn. And so even if you don't have an engineering background, if the art of storytelling requires you to learn about the product line, and without knowing the product line, it becomes very hard in order to basically tell that particular story. And so I fundamentally believe that, you know, tying in the complicated technology, making it simple for our target audience, which is our customers, our partners, the analyst and press community, is really fundamental in terms of how you can actually do innovative marketing across the board.
You make me think about college education and curriculum for engineers and why we can't have more people like you coming out of college with left brain and right brain on fire. And it's like, when you were in school, did you hear the word elegant design? Because you speak like an artist, a sculptor, archaeologist, engineer, marketer now, with all of those domains spinning in your head at the right time, at the same time, and you articulate elegance.
Thank you.
So why don't colleges embrace that, knowing that we need more Arunas in the world that are ready to hit the road running and bring value to the world?
I think fundamentally, I've seen one shift, right? First, let me talk about the technology aspect, the STEM part.
Okay.
And then the second one I'll address is it again goes to the art of storytelling. How do you basically, how can you be eloquent in terms of how you actually tell your story or your technology story? The first one is, I think I've seen that it's harder for women to embrace a STEM degree than men. And I can give you that by example with both my children. I have two girls. One is 26 now, and the other one is 22 years old. And both of them did not want to go into a STEM degree.
Yeah.
And growing up, because myself and my husband, we both have technology background, but both the girls did not actually want to go into an engineering degree. And it was a real struggle for me to basically get them to even look at and consider a STEM degree. And why is that? It is because the education needs to start in high school.
Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Tired of old, drafty, poorly crafted windows and doors that can't withstand Texas's hot summers and chilly winters? Turn to New South Window Solutions. As both the manufacturer and installer of custom replacement windows and doors, their high-quality products are built specifically for the Texas climate. New South's windows and doors are energy efficient and will keep your home comfortable all year round. Plus, with the lifetime guarantee, you can trust that their products will stand the test of time. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more and schedule your free in-home consultation. And going on now, when you buy two products, you'll get the third free. Upgrade your home with two New South windows or doors, and the third product and installation are absolutely free. Act now and save big. Head to NewSouthWindow.com today to learn about the customization options available and schedule your free in-home consultation. Don't miss the opportunity to upgrade your home with the ultimate window from New South Window Solutions. Learn more today at NewSouthWindow.com.
I don't see that. While the curriculum in high school has, all of the various different courses to embrace a lot of STEM degree, a lot of women, self-doubt themselves. And they actually pick easy disciplines, or I would say they pick disciplines which they know, because they think that, STEM careers are hard. And it's really not hard. Women are really smart across the board. And I think the first problem we need to solve is bring a lot of education. I would say starting eighth grade, when people start to make up their minds. And so personally, what I have actually done is I go to a couple of high schools here and talk about the importance of embracing a STEM degree. And I talk about my own education, what benefits I've actually gotten with having a STEM degree, and how I've actually taken a path from engineering onto the marketing side. I think we as humans have to create that awareness, and people start thinking that, you know, you have to create that awareness in college. The train has already left the station at that particular time. People have already embraced a particular degree across the board. So you have to start in high school. So that's one. Okay. The second thing is, how can we create a lot more of, how can we inspire a lot of women in order to basically pick STEM degrees? And so for my own daughters, because it was given. I had a engineering degree and a marketing degree, and same thing with my husband. He has an engineering degree, and you know, the way I basically influenced my kids is by bringing in other mentors and sponsors to talk to my daughters when they were young. While you know, you would think that I would be the mentor, you know, our children would automatically assume that, you know, we went into a particular degree for whatever reasons, but being able to get my colleagues who were my mentors and sponsors to talk to my daughters played a huge role across the board in terms of being able to help them, help influence their young minds. So both my girls went into a computer science degree. So Monica got a computer science degree from Cal Poly, and Tanya is going to have a dual degree with design as well as a minor in computer science, right? And so I'm really proud of that. But having said that, Monica actually quit her computer science degree and now has gone into a brand new profession, which is called the creator economy. And so she's going to be an entrepreneur. She worked for 4 years at Twilio and other companies across the board, and then has now gone into a different path. But that is what STEM actually gives you, right? And so to me, it's about giving people the courage, inspiring them to take a chance. Because once you have a technology degree, you can take your career in whatever direction you want. You might not want to be an engineer. Like I decided I'm not going to be in the engineering side. But it gives you the foundation. And that is the message we need to send to high schools in order to inspire the next generation of young men and women.
Absolutely. Okay, we are talking to Aruna Ravichandran, and we're talking about lots of topics. We just went on a very important philosophical topic there. And I just want to add one thing to what you just said. I have two daughters slightly older than you. My background's from Procter & Gamble. I put my mentors in front of them, one of which ended up running Hallmark Entertainment, the wow. ultimate one of those ultimate storyteller things. Both my daughters are now in the industry of storytelling. So it's like, I applaud you, Mom, for what you're doing, and the end product will be your legacy.
100%, 100%, and hopeful for that.
Me too. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to listen to the messaging of WebEx. And it's all about how to bring hybrid teams together and create more meaningful connections with your customers. Here's the message.
WebEx by Cisco is here to help your business connect better, whether that means bringing hybrid teams together or creating meaningful connections with your customers. As a leading provider of cloud-based collaboration solutions, we offer a suite of collaboration tools such as video meetings, calling, messaging, an events platform, and purpose-built collaboration devices. In a time when businesses are striving to connect with audiences in more meaningful ways, we offer robust customer experience solutions that don't just help your customers, but spark delight. The WebEx platform has advanced AI at its core, which means all our products are designed to enhance collaboration. And with our legacy of enterprise-grade security, you can be sure that every WebEx offering has security built in, not bolted on. Learn more about WebEx collaboration and customer experience solutions at webex.com.
And we're back with Aruna. And Aruna, on the back half of every show where we talk with people of significance, we ask them a little bit deeper philosophical questions. And so we want to start with this one. We study epiphanies here. You laugh. And I would like to know, what was your latest epiphany? And then the second part of the question is, why can't we speed up epiphanies?
Okay. So my latest epiphany is, so in order to tell you my latest epiphany, I have to tell you a little bit about myself. One thing is, my mind constantly is thinking about the next thing. You know, that's how I'm wired, right? Like whether it is personally or professionally, I'm always thinking about how we can innovate, what we can do with respect to the next thing. In fact, if you ask me, what is my quote, I would say that two of my favorite quotes, one is a personal quote and the other one is, you know, how I actually operate is, strategy without execution is hallucination, which means that I'm an operator, but a creative operator too, because I also think about, you know, how do you basically make things happen and how do you do it in a creative way, but it's all about execution. You can bring ideas to market, but if you don't execute on that idea, whether it is a good idea or bad idea, you'll never know, right? And so for me, it's at the heart and soul of that. Because of that, I'm constantly thinking about what is my next thing. My mind never stops thinking. My epiphany is that I have to find, you know, a time to basically take for myself. And that doesn't come to me easily because I'm not wired that way. So my latest epiphany is, I found my secret sauce to take my time for break. And that is to do gardening. And you would have never imagined that I would get my hands wet. And, you know, I like to create. And I had to find something where I would get a lot of pleasure and my own downtime to think across the board. And so I embrace gardening in a completely different way. And so it's not about, so if you come to my house, you will see a lot of pots. And I am all about design as well, because design and creative is my mojo across the board. And so it has to be, themed in terms of the season, in terms of the colors. So I have a lot of pots. I basically plant a whole bunch of new plants based upon the season, based upon the festivity across the board. And I get a lot of pleasure and a sense of calmness when I see those beautiful plants come to life. And when I need to take a break, I just go for a walk in my garden. And that is something I would never do. But I realized that it is a really important part of my mental well-being. And this I basically developed actually the second year into the pandemic. And I now made it a part of my lifestyle. And that is a huge epiphany for me, is to take those mental breaks. I am not wired to take those mental breaks.
Beautiful. Why did it take you so long to discover that?
Because I didn't know how to basically calm my mind. Like I said, for me, you know, once I finish something, what is the next thing? My mind constantly thinks about what is the next thing. I didn't know how do I basically have to calm my mind. And I had to find something out. And here is how I basically learned about taking the breaks. I follow Arianna Huffington. And she constantly talks about, mental well-being across the board. And now she's become a very close friend as well. And so I watched one of her episodes where she talked about how she created her company, Thrive Reset. You know, she had a collapse and she had to come to terms with herself in order to basically create her company. And I thought to myself, I also have to find my own inner mojo in order to basically help my own mental well-being. And I didn't know what that was. I'm an empty nester. Both the girls are gone. I love what I do. I love my team. I love this company.
Tired of old, drafty, poorly crafted windows and doors that can't withstand Texas's hot summers and chilly winters? Turn to New South Window Solutions. As both the manufacturer and installer of custom replacement windows and doors, their high-quality products are built specifically for the Texas climate. New South's windows and doors are energy efficient and will keep your home comfortable all year round. Plus, with the lifetime guarantee, you can trust that their products will stand the test of time. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more and schedule your free in-home consultation. And going on now, when you buy two products, you'll get the third free. Upgrade your home with two New South windows or doors, and the third product and installation are absolutely free. Act now and save big. Head to NewSouthWindow.com today to learn about the customization options available and schedule your free in-home consultation. Don't miss the opportunity to upgrade your home with the ultimate window from New South Window Solutions. Learn more today at NewSouthWindow.com.
And I constantly want to do something for the company or for my personal life. And so I didn't know how to basically stop my mind. I also realized that because I'm always on, I appear always on to my team. And that was the second epiphany I had. Because I'm always on, I cannot expect my team to be always on. And so once I realized that, I had to figure out how I can also basically take a break so I can be off so that I can, you know, bring my best self to my team.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And I, you know, when we hear things like that, it makes me wonder about the number of years that you had to be working so fast and being always on that you finally hit a point.
That's
and
right.
For our listeners, I hope that you can maybe have a higher mindfulness and speed that aha moment up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the essence of this. Okay, a couple more questions, and then we're going to let you get back to being always on again. Okay.
No, I am not always on. Okay.
Okay, so if collaboration is defined as bringing diverse skilled people together to create something new, if we had your two daughters on today, what would they say has been one of the favorite collaborative moments with mom, where you all had different ideas and you all netted out something that was really new and surprising and fun?
I would say both my girls will say that the family came together when we actually took the break during the holidays. So we had a tradition as a family that we would start our new year in a new place every year. And something we would also learn about the culture of that particular place. And we would make our new year resolutions and goals. And as a mother, I would always look back on what were the goals we made as a family the previous year and what did we accomplish. That was one. And so both my girls were programmed for that. And the second one was the travel. And the reason we did the travel was to basically give the girls an appreciation for multiple different cultures and people across the board. And so the girls have visited all the continents except Antarctica, and they have learned to be empathetic to a lot of the cultures, and they have learned to embrace the diversity and the beautiful culture which is there around the world. And I'm so proud when I see how they've actually embraced that and taken it to the next level. Like I said, my older daughter actually quit her engineering job and is now a full-time creator and an entrepreneur. And she's created a channel for women. She's got over 400,000 followers on YouTube. And she is a legend across the board in her industry, I would say, and I'm really proud. But the part which really makes me proud of what she has actually done is she's created a channel for women to basically bring their best selves, especially women of color. And that she learned with all the travel which we did, where she connected with people in multiple different backgrounds and diverse cultures, I would say. So the girls will always tell you that we came together as a family during the holidays, and we used to take vacations 4 times a year, you know, July 4th, Thanksgiving, as well as Christmas. And they have a deep appreciation for people and how we basically connect people of multiple different cultures and include them in every part of how they actually think. And I can see that in the channel they have actually created, both my girls.
You are my new hero. I just love that. I mean, it hits me right here. And the other part that it said, for in case you guys didn't hear this, is that this is about planting seeds today that you may never see harvested in your lifetime.
Yep.
It's so beautiful. And in part, you answered the last question, but I'm still going to ask you it anyway. This is about, I wanted you to differentiate between success and significance.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you that if where we have become as a network is to think that success is about me and significance is about others, whether it's your team or your children. And I don't want to bias your answer, but what does significance mean to you in contrast to success?
I think both significance and success has to be about a we and not about a me. Because anytime there is just a me, I think let's just take success as an example. You might be successful, but the joy you get with that will not be there if there is no we and there is just me. Because success has to be celebrated together with people, whether it is your family. And I'm also a fundamental believer that, you know, there is always going to be people who have always been there for you. And success cannot be alone. Success always has to have a bunch of people who are your rock, who are your backbone to get to where you got to. Can never be about me. Mm-hmm. And when you think about significance, I would say significance can be about key things which are important to you personally. But when I think about the larger magnitude of things from a significance perspective, I think that, again, that becomes a weak conversation too. You know, you have to make something really, you know, significant as a family, like we did in our family. Like, we used to do those family vacations and they were non-negotiable. And we would make those goals as a family, and we would always think about, you know, how we did towards those goals. Here are a couple of key things I learned from my mom. Is she would say, how would you measure the success that you are a good parent? And she had three principles. My girls know about those principles. Alive at 25, because people do the most stupid things before they're 25. And if you look at statistics, the mortality rate, you know, is on a decline from your teen years up to 25, and your brain is completely matured by the time you get to 25, and people stop doing those stupid things. And so the mortality rate stays stagnant up to 60, and then it drops again. Right? So alive at 25, if your child is alive at 25, mom, dad, pat yourself, you did a good job. Number two is raising independent children, which means that you're emotionally, financially independent. It's not just about financial independence, it's also about emotional independence. And I see that across the board. And if you have been able to raise children who are emotionally and financially independent, unbelievable job, because that is really hard to do. Number three is making a contribution to the society. And each year, I will measure myself against these three goals. And I think about it very deeply across the board. And this has tremendous significance for me and for our family. And I will always go back to number three, because all the time we think about us all the time. But if all of us can make a little bit of contribution to the society, the world will be a much better place. To the best we can do, right? Like it doesn't have to be only about, financial contribution. There could be something which is of very important significance to you. And if you can take a little bit of time to contribute to that particular charter, which is meaningful and significant to you, the world will be a better place.
Thank you so much, Aruna. I want to replay this show almost every month next year, and I'm trying to get this movement going that every day is Mother's Day. You just honored your mother in the greatest way possible, and that's repeating that story, and that I hope that everybody applauds it. Thank you so much for joining us. I would love to have you back on again to give us your view of the world, maybe have a once a year time with Aruna. That would be such a joy for us.
Thank you, Rick. You're really kind. I really enjoyed the discussion with you today, and hopefully it would have been a little bit helpful to the audience. Thank you for having me.
I'm certain of that. Thanks again. And folks, as we always say, we wish you a successful life, but on your way to significance. Have a great week.
Texas Capital, we know your ambition is as big as Texas. That's why you're here. You'll call Texas home for the opportunity, for the untapped potential and intrepid possibilities. So why are you still banking without ambition? Come to Texas Capital and you'll find more than products and services. You'll find people who understand how to make them work in Texas. You're here, your community is here. And at Texas Capital, you can bank like you live. Learn more at texascapital.com. That's texascapital.com. Texas Capital, member FDIC.